very, very, very special treat for me because I think it has to be close to 27 years ago. The Lord brought me and my wife to this as the very first place where we began to understand and accept in our hearts the truth in the Word of God concerning how God desires His people to gather together. So this is really my this is my home, and this is the very first time that I have been able to come back home and say hi. And a very you know, when you start out somewhere, those first impressions stay with you all of your life, and there are dear saints here that have been deeply special to me through the years. Now, if you were to ask how special that was by the way that I write and communicate, you would say, oops. Well, it doesn't sound very special to me because I'm not a writer and I'm not a long-distance communicator. But in my heart, this is home. It will always be. My first child was born here, so my son is a true Jawajan. I was told by Austin when I first got here, because I always said Georgia. He says, son, let's sit down and let's have a lesson about how to pronounce the state. It is not Georgia. It's Jawajan. And I sat there, yawd. He says, just think of a jaw and say Jawajan. And I've never forgotten that. So thank you, Austin. All right. Enough of the sentimental ramblings on. My heart, as you will see, I hope and pray by the grace of God, is to encourage you to consider the possibility of you being involved in seeing a New Testament work planted. And the goal that I have today, by the grace of God, is to share with you some of the things that God has taught, some of the things that have been stumbling blocks that I hope to be able to pass along to you, and as well to encourage you in the beauty of what God can do with a person or a group of people whose wholehearted objective is solely to honor Jesus Christ. It is just astounding to me to be able to share with you what God has done. And I want to say that God has done the work. And anything that lasts, anything that has staying power, anything that has an ability to go the long distance and truly be a blessing, won't come about because of man's energy, because of man's efforts, or because of anything that we can look to and put our hands on and say, we did this. And one of the great realities that I think we need to first look at is in this essence of being able to say, how would I know if God has me to be involved in some type of an outreach ministry that would be directed at seeing a new meeting get established? And what would be the criterion that I would be able to sit down and go through and evaluate whether or not God would have me to be part of something like that? And so if you have your blue notebooks, and I hope everyone got one, if there's someone who didn't get one and maybe we ran out, I have extra sheets. I don't have the extra blue. And some of you will have notebooks that you don't have the three punched little attachments in the side of the notebook. Sorry, I picked up the wrong. They all were blue, and I just grabbed a bunch and said they're all the same. So if you've got them slid in your folder, you'll understand that that was my error. You will also notice a few typos. Sorry. You told me to come and talk about planting New Testament works, not about typing. So I tried. I have a spell checker and put it through it about three times. I don't know why it didn't catch it. So anyway, you'll see one or two obvious errors. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 15. Now, I want to cover some fundamental stuff as we start, and then I'm going to open up and share with you some of the practical things that I think really we would all like to sit down and consider together when we think about God opening up our hearts and seeing new works get established. John chapter 15 and verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. And Father, again, we look to you this morning, as we've already asked, that you would really open our hearts. And Father, that this would be a day when we would not be content to come and sit down and count the hours until we're done, and say to ourselves, we've heard this before. But our Father, we pray, we ask that it would be the good pleasure of the Spirit of God to open areas of our heart and our mind and our will that would allow us to be in a position from this day forward to be adequately surrendered to be used of you in whatever capacity you wish us to be used in. And Father, I know the heart of those that have been desirous of us being together this weekend, that we would have a vision, a godly vision, for this part of the country that you have called us to. We think of Washington, we think of Augusta, we think of Birmingham, we think of other areas where individuals have come from that are in need of a good gospel, a good presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ, a faithful presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we hunger to be those that would be willing to lay down all that we have and understand that we are living in but a moment of time. And we ask that we would be able to see that and realize that we have an opportunity now that we'll never have again. Stand with the Lord Jesus Christ and to be used by Him to be involved in the lives of people who genuinely, down in their hearts, even though they may not know it at this moment, are aching for reality with You and long for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, pray that we would be a people prepared today, that we would have seeds planted today that would open our lives and open our eyes and our wills and our passions and our goals and our dreams, Father. They would all come under Your care. We ask for the glory of Your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, one of the quick things, and I'm going to move because I got a lot of stuff I want to share with you this morning. But one of the things that I want to just, for those of you who are young and you're still wondering where it is the Lord wants you to plug into, be assured that God has a work for you. He has a work. And it's already established in His heart and in His mind. And the goal of God in your life... I'm going to say this very carefully. It may be that you're going to get an education. It may be that you're going to be stretching yourself to some field that you enjoy. But the ultimate goal of your life, dear believer, is that through your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, others are attracted to the Lord Jesus. That is the reason we're left here. Now, we've heard that. I'm not going to go into a long dissertation on how we need to be soul winners, although that could be a large part of what we would could talk about today. I want just to be able to get across this morning the value, pardon me, from John chapter 15 and verse 16, that all of us have a specific work, a very specific work that God has called us to. And I think sometimes when we think about that work, the temptation of the mind is maybe to move out and to say, well, no, I'm so mixed up and messed up. God can never use me. You are looking at one of the most mixed up, messed up individuals that ever walked, I believe, in the current culture that we're in. And I want to say this. I know you probably heard this before. I mean it with all my heart. If God would use an individual like me and allow me the privilege just to see what He is capable of doing, frankly, there's not an excuse on the world, on this planet, for anybody else to say, I'm not good enough or not capable enough. And the power of that statement does not come because of what you and I assess ourselves to be. The power for me to say that and for anyone to stand behind it comes from the reality that God has already established a work, and He has got a work for you to do. And frankly, the big challenge in life is being able to see our way through the cluttering things that get in the way of that. It's good that we raise our families. It's good that we work a job. It's good that we've learned to be able to enjoy what God has given us to enjoy. But all these things are subservient to the primary goal that it doesn't matter whether, quote unquote, we tend to look at those who are in full-time work or full-time ministry as opposed to the person who is just here today, and you're maybe thinking, I just want to get married and bear children and raise my family for the Lord and live a happy life. All of us have a purpose that is higher and more purposeful than our careers, our families, our happiness, our objectives in life, anything that we might lay hold of. Now, that can come through our career. That will obviously be through our families. But what I want to say in this capacity is that we are a people that God has called and allowed to become His arm, His feet, and His heart to literally not just give them the gospel, but to impart really in a long-term capacity to people that may be hard on the long end to see come to Christ some reality of who God really is. And that's how I believe, if you go through the gospels, in the nutshell, and yes, there will be lots of ways in which we will be evaluated, but the core is to be how were we His feet and His hands and His heart? How did we allow the beauty of the Lord to literally have control of us and move out and answer the aching cries of the people that are still around us that need the Lord? The reason I say this and the reason that this is critical to our understanding this morning is that, and I don't know about you, I was involved in sales for many years. And I'm tired of pep rallies. I don't know about you, but if you get out here and you do this and do that and punch it through, you're going to be a billionaire. And I'm not saying that those aren't important. I'm just saying I'm tired of them. I want to be able to understand that what God has called us to do is, number one, not unreasonable, and number two, it's doable. And I want to impart that, if I can, by the grace of God, to you today. The work of God for you, and especially in the area of being available to see a new work planted, is something that you can be part of. And I believe it to be God's primary purpose is that we duplicate ourselves. Not just in the fact that we see individuals come to Christ, but that we actually see wholesome meetings where God's people are gathered to Jesus Christ. And there's a love for Jesus Christ. So there's a work. And I believe that work is central to the heart of God the Father with respect to the bride of Christ. And, you know, we could sit here this morning and we could debate all the different groups that there are out there that are believers who would say they feel they have a little angle on the truth about how we ought to be gathered together as a church. I don't want to get into the fracas and the fay of those situations. I want to be true to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be true to the heart of Christ. And you do too. And what we want people to see is Jesus Christ. And we want to preach to them the gospel of Christ, not just in the fact that they're lost and on their way to hell and need a Savior. We want to preach the whole gospel of Jesus Christ in the sense we want to ask God to be available for His work, to put us in the lives of different individuals that God can work with. And that ultimately is going to be your work. I don't know how God will do it, and I don't know through what avenue God will use you through, but you can count on it if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have a heart to surrender to the work that God has called you to do. That work will ultimately culminate in a relationship with somebody else. It is not just antiseptic strikes or surgical strikes with the gospel where we go in, kind of like, you know, the plane, and we say, there's the target, you know, and fill up. Some of you saying, oh boy, what are we in store for this day? No, I did not go to acting school. And no, I don't stand in front of the mirror and practice this stuff. And no, it's not premeditated. But I believe that one of the great chunks of territory that God's people are always in need of recovering is the fact that it's not just the fact that I want to discharge my load, although that's critical. That's primary. And when I say discharge my load, I mean to be faithful to tell them of their need of a Savior. But it also involves in allowing our lives to bleed and to give and to be connected and yet separated from their sin. Connected to them as individuals to where they know that we mean business for them. And a relationship is built so that when the time is right and the Spirit of God is really moving and it's obvious that this individual is coming to a point, whether it be they need Christ as Savior or they need Christ as the complete supreme King of everything they do, and even to the point of coming to an understanding, they need to be gathered to Jesus Christ and to Jesus Christ alone, whatever that may cost. A bridge is there. A godly bridge is there. And I believe that is part of the work that God would call us to do. Some of us will be called maybe to be missionaries. Others, great scholastic and capabilities to help aid and promote and move along God's people in certain areas. But all of us, to some degree or another, will be called in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to be associated with somebody else outside of the fold. And everything in the Word of God, we know this to be true. I just call it to our remembrance this morning. Everything we have, relationship. The first of the law, the four commandments you know, is Godward, and that's relationship. And the second six are manward, that's relationship. And everything is summed up in those two categories. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so, when we look at this, and we look at the way in which God calls us and conditions us, and begins to say, you know, is this really for me? Some of you maybe came because you just wanted to come. I believe all of you came because you had an interest and a heart's desire to say, God, what would you have me be involved in? And I will say this and then we'll move on. regardless of what purpose it was that drew you here today, may we all be able to leave here and say, God, you reminded me that outside of my responsibility to love you, my primary responsibility is to reach out and love the unlovely through your grace and your mercy and your power. That's the gospel. And that's where it begins. And that's where the work of God gets its power, is we bleed into the lives of other people. And some of you say, oh, he says, bleed into the lives of other people. Well, if that will stick with you and help you remember what's been said and done, you have my privilege to say, he said that the whole time through. Could he not say anything else? It's okay. You have my permission. All right. Now, here's some of the things, though, that I feel are cautionary. Let's take a look at some of them. And, of course, let's go to Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 7. One of the dangers is the need to be sure that we are truly being guided by the Lord. And I don't say that lightly. I say that as simply a mid-course correction, something that calls us away from being in the flesh about these things. And all of these things I'm sharing with you were primary in the work that God did in my heart, and I know in the lives of many who are willing to say, Lord, would you use me in any way possible to see or be a help to seeing a work of God get established. And these were things that I had to answer. Number one, as we see in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 7, that the Apostle Paul had a great desire to go and preach the Word of God. And his intent, no one really could question, or his motive. But you know, as he began to go, the Spirit of God restrained him. There were certain constrictions upon his going. And one of the things that I believe is important as we begin to think about, will God allow me to be part of a work that maybe would start out of scratch, or maybe a small Bible study, or maybe a smaller meeting that's just struggled on for many years. God would have us all examine these three particular things that I believe the Apostle Paul was reminded of by the Spirit of God. Verse 6 reads, and now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And again, I want to say this for those of you that are young and just starting out. There's three principles you want to keep in mind about anything that's in front of you that you feel is something you'd like to do. Number one, a need does not always necessarily constitute a call. Just because there's a need for it to be done does not mean that it's God's will for you to be involved in it. Number two, a desire is not necessarily a need, or rather a prerequisite for a call. Just because you long to do it does not necessarily mean that now is the time or that's the direction to go in. There always will be a need, and you will always deal with different desires in your life, but what we want is we want to come in line with the desire that God has called us out to do, a work that God has allowed us to be part of. And then number three, skill does not always constitute a call. And I know it's to be true in my own experience, and I know it to be true in other people's experiences. Just because an individual is able to articulate does not necessarily mean that individual's called to preach. Just because an individual is skilled at business does not necessarily mean that individual is skilled at managing the people of God and shepherding the people of God. Yeah, those things can be used, but those are not the primary sources in which God will come through and validate His call in. He can use all of them at the right time to confirm that He's working and moving. But we want to be careful that we don't just throw ourselves at every single thing that comes around. I really don't think that's a problem, but I want to caution us that we be careful to be discerning about what we're willing to jump into. I know of an individual right now that left his meeting, went out, thought God had called him to start a new work, and he got out there and tried to get it going. People came to help him, and now that meeting is folded up, and he is messed up, and there is a great struggle in that person's life right now. And when you go back and you examine it, you'll find out that that dear brother did not really have the blessing of God's people before he left. So, and you would be around the man, and his appetite was infectious for what he wanted to do. And you'd say, wow, if there's ever a guy that's going to make it, and seeing a new work get established, it's going to be that guy. And I love this brother, and it aches my heart to see the grief of his heart. And I really can't pass judgment on him, because you know the jury is still out. We'll wait to see what the Lord Jesus assesses of his efforts. But I know that in his heart he struggles. And oftentimes he'll look at me and he'll say, John, I just don't know if it was really God's will. Now, please forgive me. This sounds self-aggrandizing. I have no desire to be that way. But I can tell you with a clear heart, although there's times when I chew my knuckles and I say to myself, Heller, what on earth were you thinking about when you thought you were going to go down Little Rock and at least try to reach out and hope and pray maybe God would do something down there? But I'll tell you this. By the grace of God, and I say that cautiously, I have absolutely no second thoughts about doing what God called me to do. None. Now, there's times when I wouldn't mind getting the baseball bat and scruffing up a bunch of guys and going, now, I feel better. I feel like this is exactly what I should have done. Yeah, now it's God's will. Because if the call is not of God and God is not in it, you're going to have disasters that are going to come your way and hard things are going to come your way, and you're going to hit them like this and you're going to go, and then you're going to say, did I really have God's mind? Do you know what that is like in the heat of the battle, to ask yourself, did I have God's mind, and to be in doubt about that? That is what chews up any ambition and chews up any energy that could be used for the Master in His kingdom. And Satan knows it, and he sits on that, and he'll just hammer and hammer. You know, you've heard the old saying, he operates by the min-max principle. Before you go, he minimizes all the things you should really be counting and costing. And then after you go and you flop and you wonder, did I do it right? He maximizes the tremendous things in your mind that weigh you down. He just keeps saying, you jerk, you idiot, you no-no, you didn't do this and you didn't do, oh, how can you call yourself on fire for God? Just go home, pack it up, and forget about it. You no-account, low jellyfish, backbone, spineless, jay-leg, ugly-looking individual, go home. Now, folks, if you know me, I'm a realist. And I want to shoot straight. But this area that I'm covering right now is absolutely fundamental. Because we're not interested in popcorn efforts. I don't think we're interested in popcorn efforts. We want something that is divinely ordered, and we want to be in tune with that divine order. And so when we get back to Ephesians chapter 2, we look at verse 10, we realize we've been called to this. Now, it isn't just to see a new work planted, but I have to say that a new work is included in that work of God. Now, frankly, I think this way. I came home from a meeting up in North Dakota, Fargo, North Dakota, one time, and I was driving back through the wide open plains of North Dakota, South Dakota. And every little town I drove through, I always noticed two things: post office and a Kingdom Hall. I mean, those things are everywhere, out in the middle of nowhere. And I said to myself, I said, John Heller, why do those who are on their way to hell and do not know the peace of the divine call of God, why are those dear people, and there are dear people involved in those groups, working feverishly like that, and there's Kingdom Halls all over this country? And I realize for me, I can't answer for anybody else, I can answer for me, that the key is, I had no view. I had no outward view of the big picture. I just wanted to be able to say that where I'm at, and this is a good thing, is doing the right thing. It's moving where it ought to move. I want to be sure I'm taking care of all the things I need to take care of. And there are seasons in our lives. I don't want to lay unnecessary guilt trips on you. There are seasons in our lives where it's impossible for us to give wholeheartedly to an effort like this. Family. Certain responsibilities, but the key should always be, I do not want to come to the end of my life and retire. The objective of the believer is, may I get to a point where I can be the most effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are studying right now for something you believe God has called you to do and you want to do with all your heart, do it as a means to an end, not as an end-all in and of itself. Because I want to tell you with all my heart, and those of you who have been down the road, as my grandpappy used to say, and I guess I know now why I'm in Arkansas, because he was originally from Arkansas. And this was in the days before he knew the Lord. And he said, whenever he was correcting me with advice and wisdom, he would say to me, he said, John, I've been around the jug looking for the handle a little longer than you have. They did a lot of that in Arkansas, you know. And those who have been down the highway of life will tell you, it doesn't matter all the things I have. And it doesn't matter all that I've done with my time on this planet. What really counts is what I was really willing to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's never too late. Never too late. I want to tell you this story and then I'll move on. My uncle moved on through life. He stepped out of God's will and stepped into a life that was so destructive and so discouraging to me as a young man. But I saw him broken before God, and he had every right to sit, you know, to crawl to the back pew and sit on the back pew and just sit humbly. He was not arrogant, but he went out the last 4 years of his life on fire for the Lord. It's never too late. And he's always been a testimony to me. Anyone can turn and get on fire, regardless of what season of life God enters your little camp. Well, all right. Y'all are wondering. People are beginning to wave. Oh, they're beginning to show signs. 10 minutes. Oh, this could be a long day. I'm sure glad they got this thing timed out, because he's got to be done at 2 o'clock whether or not he covers his material. Obviously, I want to move through this area. Now, this is the dangerous thing, and I want to just say this. The danger is that we would become stirred and motivated and bound together, knit together in the common goal of seeing God's kingdom advance. The danger is to do it just like that group did it, or to do it just like somebody else did it. Now, for most of us, this will not be a problem, but for some, we tend to be systems-oriented. You know what I mean when I say systems-oriented? We tend to think in terms of, let's find a good pattern and get in that pattern and make it work. And systems are not always the right way to look at something. And so for those that like everything laid out, pinned down, it's not wrong to have good fundamental guideposts along the way. But the danger is that we tend to rest in the guideposts and not in the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's one danger that I fear has moved in to the people of God today in large numbers, and you know the other side of it, to where it's gone to the other extreme. And I know that because I used to live in the capital where most of all that comes from. And there are dear people out there. And you know, they're saying is name it and claim it. And I went a little further because this seemed to be more appropriate. Blab it and grab it. And that's just the mentality. And I'm not saying that disrespectfully. I'm just saying it reduces God to some sort of celestial errand boy where you clap and he comes running. But conversely, the danger is that we will not move out in faith and begin to pray in larger terms of saying, God, do a bigger work than I ever dreamed. Do a work that's beyond my vision. Do something that honors your name and gives people something to be excited about so that when they come, they don't see that we come in on Sunday, sit down, open our Bibles, or maybe it's amen. We close our Bibles and we walk home. How Joe? Now, some people are touched that way. I'm not minimizing that. But people ultimately enjoy being in an atmosphere where they know that God's Spirit is free to work and move in the group that God has called. It doesn't have to be, hallelujah, Harry. I mean, when we were up at school in Bob Jones, there was a place called Happy Knackle. That's what we called it. It was Happy Knackle. It was some tabernacle glory place. I don't know what it was. And we would go just for the entertainment of it. And I remember, you can ask John Gordon this sometime, because he shared this with me, this experience. And we go and we sit up in the balcony. And we keep our eyes on the old men up front. And I believe that's why a lot of people came to that place. Something was going on there. And any time the preacher would hit a point, some of the old men would raise their Bibles, they just grab like this. And I'm not after these men. I think they were probably sweet, godly men. But they'd raise their Bible and they'd say, you'd hear the deep, thunderous voice, glory! And everybody get quiet, and then that Bible slowly come down. The preacher keep on preaching. But if he really lathered up and waxed eloquent and cut loose, man, those guys would get up and one of them would say, glory! And he'd walk around the perimeter of the auditorium with his Bible in his hand going, glory, glory. And it was really good. All the old men got up. And they walked all the way around the building. You know, it's kind of like you go to a hockey game and you know how the old saying is. You go to a game like that they might actually play hockey, but basically it's a fight, and a hockey game broke out afterwards. Well, I don't want to put this on a sensational level, but I do want to say this. Wherever the Spirit of God is, folks, there's liberty. is liberty. And we want to be careful. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9:16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. And I want to say this, activity is not enough. I can't tell you how many doors I've knocked on in my life. I can't tell you how many times we parked that green van over here in Elberton, Georgia. And the automatic door would slide out, or the platform would slide out, pulpit would pop up, speakers would fold out. And the young man would come out right there in the parking lot of the drive-through dairy, whatever it is, over there in Elberton. And we'd sit there and we'd pound away at the gospel. And every now and then we'd hit them up with their sin. Now, I'm not saying those efforts were wasted. And I'm not saying all the efforts that we give in reaching out are fruitless. But what I do want to say is this. I believe that along with being faithful to plant the seed of God's Word, God will make the call in our life so effective in this matter of being available to Him for us not to do it would be sin. And I'm afraid today one of the reasons why we don't see more fervor, and I mean godly fervor, is it's not a deep abiding conviction within us. And I say that to my own shame. I say that to the battle that I fought. I felt as a Christian for many years of my life, even though, well, John, you went through Bob Jones. You graduated from Bob Jones University. You're a preacher boy. I thought evangelism or reaching people or being involved in the Lord's work was optional. It's not optional, beloved. And I mean that in the... You know me. Now some of you are looking at me. Well, he's getting serious now. Fur brows and all. He's looking stern and mean. You know me. I'd be the last person on this planet to chide anyone. I am simply saying the great discovery for the believer, and it's really freedom, is to know you don't belong to yourself. That's freedom. You belong to the King. And you've got a job. You know why that's freedom? Because you don't have to sit around and complicate your mind with, what am I going to do in life? It's very clear. And this was not just unique to Paul. This is the call of the child of God. And so I want to appeal to those of you who are starting out your journey. I want to say to you with all my heart, your life, if you know Jesus Christ, your life really will never be discovered in its fullness the way God intends it to be for you, until you yield Him your whole heart. And you say to the Lord Jesus, you know, Lord Jesus, I'm here for but 70 to 80 living years. And sure, there's a lot out there that can tie us up and distract us. I want to be single-minded. And I want to hit the mark of being a light for Christ. We get to take a break now. Let's pray. Father, I just pray now that as we begin to move through these things that are dear to Your heart, that we would sense the dearness of Your heart with us. Thank You that You're not harsh, You're not mean, You're not unjust. Father, that You are so gracious with us as Your people, so long-suffering, so kind, and at any moment we show any flickering desire to respond to the work of Your Spirit in our lives. Father, we thank You that we know You rush in immediately and pull us in and nurture us and equip us and send us out to do Your will and Your work. We give You thanks for allowing us just to have our hearts directed this morning to consider that which is precious to You. We give You thanks in the name of our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.